Well, 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 look who decided to show. Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite on time cousin, Cousin Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Ooh, bold prediction. Shane shows up on time. That's first one was not accurate.
Yeah, I was sending you that message at 7:01. Oh, man. How you doing, brother? It's been a while.
Yeah, doing good, Cousin Kyle. Hey, buddy. I made it on time, just like Shane. Man, it's hotter than hell out. I don't know about your house. I just got done mowing. I feel horrible. I can't even sit up straight. I'm so exhausted.
I turned down a golf thing today. That's how hot it was, man. I was just like, yeah, I was like, I'll meet you out there. I said, I may have to catch up. And then I got to getting in the truck. I was like, golly, it's like a sauna out here. So it's going to be like this all week. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago I was complaining how cold it was outside. So you just can't make us happy. But, hey, brother, what does make us happy is we're one day closer to college football. I'm doing the countdown. We're in the 60s now. Won't be long, 50s, 40s, 30s. And then we're showing up. College, we got our media days right around the corner too, man. And that seems like that's the launch of college football 2025, man.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, we're in the dog days, but yeah. The good news is we're going to have a podcast every day to get you there till college football hits, Shane. And we got a fun idea again on Sunday. We like to try to keep it as league wide as much as possible. So I figured why not, Shane, go into the most intriguing players in the SEC this season. We got some news and notes. We got some bold predictions, and shout out Cousin Benny, member for 8 months, buddy. How about that?
Thank you, cuz. That's what I talk about. 8 month commitment. That's tough these days. You know what I'm saying?
And Brandon just gave us $2. Shane says, Mike mowed the lawn. Better watch the internet. Yeah, I may have cut it. You know what?
Yes, absolutely. But let me ask you, brother. I kind of fell off the wagon. Not bad, but I did a little bit the other day. And
you said that about 2 weeks. I feel like it's a 2 week thing.
I'm in this nasty pattern, Mike, of doing good during the week and then bad on the weekend.
Yep.
And I thought, you know what? This is the last weekend. Then my wife was like, hey, I booked us a trip up to Bristol and there's a nice little cafe bakery thing up there. Yep. So I'm going to have one more bad weekend. And then I swear I'm locked in moving forward, Mike.
Yeah, that's today's bold prediction. Yeah, all right, Shade. Yeah, we'll celebrate your victories and we'll be here for your struggles. But hey, we got $20 from Cousin Bob.
Come on, Shane, cuss.
Your favorite OU fan. We appreciate you, Cousin Bob. Thank you, cuss. Whiten. I hope that's how I say that. We appreciate you, brother. And we got a lot of great Sooners.
We're Sooner.
That one's for you, Cousin Bob. So we appreciate you, buddy. But all right, Shane, on with the show here.
Yes. Sweet carbs. sweet carbs. I can taste it already.
All right, let's start right off the bat. I love starting with bold predictions.
Yes.
So I hope yours is a little bit bolder than the team that just won the SEC is going to win the SEC. But we'll catch it in just a second. All right, Shane. So I'm trying to keep these a little. I'm trying to mix it up. I'm trying to hit all over stats, you know. Who's going to win the conference? Things of that nature. Do you have any idea, Shane? And this ain't trivia, but I don't know if you're going to get it. That's why I'm kind of throwing it at you, right?
Yeah.
The longest active SEC home winning streaks in the SEC heading into the season. First of all, I got to clarify. Do you understand the question?
Well, I'm just imagining. I didn't hear a question.
SEC's longest current active winning streak.
Right. Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, but you nailed it. 32 games in a row. Georgia's won at home. Now this is just home games. Mm-hmm. Number two. Do you have any idea who number two is? And it's a usual suspect. I'll give you a hint.
Alabama.
Alabama. Shane, you're too good. I swear. Damn. I did not prep Shane for any of this. So Georgia's at 32.
They're starting to think we're cheating, man.
Bama's at 12.
Yes.
Now here's the whole point. This is where I was trying to get to. Do you have any idea who's number three right now in the SEC active home winning streaks?
M-I-Z.
Oh, yeah. You're just reading off my Twitter. So, yeah, it is Missouri. They've got 10 in a row.
Yeah.
And I took some heat this weekend. That's the only reason you know this, probably. I'm going to show it up who they've beaten. And I wasn't, like, trying to say, like, these are, like, garbage teams or anything, but 5-7 Carolina, you beat. Again, this was 2023. Mm-hmm. Tennessee 9-4. That was when Cody Schrader ran for about 900 yards. I think he's still running against Tennessee. Florida 5-7. They were pretty bad that year. Murray State, how can we forget them? Buffalo, which is actually coached by Pete Lembo, he's a hell of a special teams coach. Boston College last year, Vanderbilt last year, Auburn didn't go to a bowl game. Oklahoma, you were at that one, and then Arkansas in the damn snow. So again, so that's the 10 game winning streak. I'm not trying to call them out or anything. I'm just presenting facts here.
Yes.
Here's my bold prediction of this week. Missouri's losing 2 home games this season. Is that too bold?
I mean, everybody's going to be looking at Bama.
Yeah, let me go down the schedule for people just listening later. We got the Purple Bears, Arkansas.
Fair County Bears, yeah.
You got that one, right? Now it's getting tricky. Kansas, I hope to God Kansas ain't one of these losses. Otherwise, we may never hear the end of it. Louisiana at home, South Carolina at home, which you almost beat them last year. And that was on the road. UMass at home. And then we get 2 weeks to prepare for Bama. That's the big one. Mm-hmm. And then we got at Auburn, at Vanderbilt, so we're dismissing those two. And then 2 weeks to prepare for A&M at home, and then Mississippi State at home. And then, of course, just the last two, which we're dismissing here, at Oklahoma and at Arkansas. So,
right.
Bold prediction, Missouri, who's got the third longest winning streak in the SEC right now, 10 consecutive home wins. Mm-hmm. They're losing 2 this year.
You going to tell me which 2, or are we just, that's it? Period. It's going to be 2 games.
I'll guarantee you Bama's 1.
Yeah.
And then probably A&M, South Carolina, one of those, or Kansas. Ooh. One of those 3.
Yeah. I mean,
and I lean heavily A&M.
Let me ask you this. A little bit different. Which team will hold on? Because let's say it is Bama. There's a chance that Georgia could have a loss by here because they got Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama could have a loss because I think they got
Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma.
Whose streak is broken first? I get what you're saying. That is a bold prediction. A team that's rarely losing at home to have 2 games lost. I get that, but I just which of those 3 teams breaks the streak first?
You went a completely different direction. Maybe Georgia, believe it or not. Bama at home, Ole Miss at home, Texas at home, but Texas would be late in the year, so I don't think it's that one. I'm looking at that Bama Georgia game perhaps, and then I don't see anybody beating Bama at home until maybe, and this is a big maybe, October 18th Tennessee. So I probably think it's either Georgia with that Bama game,
mm-hmm,
or Missouri. They've got 2 candidates there in September.
Man, it's just been so fun watching you fight these Mizzou's. I thought maybe I could get another fan base involved.
I don't think that's a crazy bold prediction, though, is it?
No, not crazy. I mean, I think anybody looking at schedule is looking at Alabama. That's the one.
Let me just say this, Shade, because you're right. I talked a lot of crap, right?
Yeah.
I could see Missouri going 10-2 with the losses being Bama and Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a bad year?
No. They'll sign up for it in a heartbeat. Right. They're in the playoffs. I mean,
right.
Even Drink told you last year, 10-2, we're getting in. So, that is not a crazy scenario that plays out. And that's one thing about Mizzou. We've not got to their preview yet, but one of the things that I like about it is that favorable schedule. Now, it's not as favorable as Tennessee's, but it's pretty favorable.
All right, so what's your bold prediction this week, Shane?
Well, since you're picking on my team, I'm going to pick on yours, Mike. My bold prediction in 2025 is the Florida Gators finished with a losing record. That's right. I think one of that 6.5 is what some I saw. Some 7.5 is kind of that. I mean, so I almost said without having a winning record, but I felt like that was a cheap way out. 6-6. I think they finished 5-7. The Florida Gators are going to implode down there in Gainesville. I think we got a little fool's gold, brother. Those games, they finished great last year, and we put a bow on it. We said, hey, that's going to continue into 2025, mm-hmm. and a lot of people have took it. Hook, line, and sinker. How can you come out here and say that the Florida Gators are going to be a top five, top 10 football team, yet Vegas is telling you, hey, they'll be lucky to have 7 wins. So that they're basically telling you how good this football team is. Vegas is rarely wrong. Same with Cousin Shane. So I'm going to go losing record, Florida Gators. At the end of 2025, but yeah. They keep Billy for some reason. Something magical happens on their last game. We're like, you know what? Let's give them another year.
Yeah. Let's turn this damn thing off, Shane. It's ridiculous. I wanted a bold prediction. I wanted like a semi-realistic one here, but your hatred for the Florida Gators has gone too far.
You think so? You think so? Look, pull the record up. Pull the schedule up here.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of buying time. I'm trying to find. I deleted it off here for some reason, and now I thought I had it uploaded, but I don't right now.
Yeah, got it pasted in your room somewhere.
I took it off. I took it off. It's on the wall right now.
Oh, geez. Right next to a picture of Billy when he was in high school. Let's see here. No. I don't, it doesn't even matter, Mike. Yeah. I mean, these people probably have seen it so many times. They've got it imprinted in their brains. They got a tough road ahead of them, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it here as we watch this tiny schedule, at LSU. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just find real quick. The six that we're probably going to LSU. Mm-hmm. I think Miami is very realistic. That could be another one. Texas is a loss. Texas A&M. At Kyle Field is a loss. You can't beat them at home. No way mm-hmm. you're going to beat them there. Georgia Bulldogs is a loss. Ole Miss is a loss. Don't be surprised if Tennessee beats you. By then, they'll finally have a quarterback.
Jay, Tennessee hasn't beat Florida and Gainesville in 30 years.
Well, it doesn't mean I don't feel like we can't win. Last 30 years, we're supposed to win them all. But also Florida State. I think after that LSU game, the Alabama game, I feel like people are going to say, oh, shit, Florida State's back. I don't think they win against Alabama, but I do think we see a noticeable improvement, and then all of a sudden Florida is reeling after all those losses. That's the best part of Tennessee, Florida State at the end of that schedule. I don't think those two teams beat Florida at the start of the season, but by the time that these two teams roll around,
right,
brother, yeah, they may have already folded up.
Yes.
DJ went ahead and had that surgery. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just hanging it up.
Let's not wish that on anybody.
No, I mean, that's what you see. If cleanup surgery happens or something.
Okay. Well, I didn't say these had to be right. So we just lost liquid. Losing record. The only thing that the Tennessee homer can pick is his nose. Oh, damn, come liquid. On. I'm right there. That's liquid. Crazy talk, Shade. That's absolutely asinine.
Well, to be fair, most of my picks are extremely wrong. So they're probably like tickled pink that I picked against them, because usually that means they're going to do well. But I don't know, man. I just feel like, again, and I'm not just shitting on the Florida Gators. I just think that this team is improving. And you just showed Mizzou schedule, Tennessee schedule. I feel like if you gave the Florida Gators that schedule, we'll have a successful season with an asterisk. But it will be enough to get him another year. Next year, I do think.
What about last year? I mean, hell, they said the same damn thing last year, and they had a
LSU was 5. LSU was down, man. LSU did not come prepared to that game. You could just Ole Miss was expecting to win that game. Florida State was done. We're we're more worried about some guy eating shit out of a cup, Red Solo cup. You know what I'm saying? Tulane, I'm not counting that. Now, if this was the same Tulane that played Oklahoma,
right?
I think they could have won the thing. So yes, I think there's a lot of credit going into those last four games and saying, "Oh my God, the Florida Gators have arrived." When you played three teams back, or four teams in essence, that I don't believe you got the best football. Hell, Ole Miss was not playing great football, and they should have won. I hate to be like your boy down there in Auburn, but you play that game 9 times out of 10, Ole Miss is winning. Ole Miss is winning that thing. So, yes, now we crown DJ Lagway as the greatest quarterback to ever play college football, and we're just going to pretend that 2024 really didn't happen, and 2025 is going to be a successful season. Oh, wait, guess what? They had the same schedule they barely survived last year with.
Well, I had to go walk the hall, Shane. I'll about quit the show with that take. But, well, all right, we'll see. We'll see, buddy. We'll see. We may have to do a wager on this one because this is crazy talk. All right, hey, real quick. We didn't really hit on this. I know you really wanted to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep, you know, the previews going strong. So I don't want to go on too many tangents while we're previewing people. But how about Diego Pavia, Shane? I mean, he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 4.5 says Vanderbilt's gonna run the SEC. You know, the game he's looking forward to. You know, it's so funny. Diego's talking bad about Tennessee, and yet then they say, well, anybody that missed it, he went on bussing with the boys.
Yeah.
And they said, which game are you looking forward to the most? He said, well, hell, South Carolina. Like, I don't know where this guy's going, but so he hates South Carolina for some reason. They're going to run Tennessee. Thoughts on all this Diego Pavia madness?
Hey, he had a run, right? You know what? We had some good times. We got to brag about Vanderbilt for once, but
yeah,
the spotlight's out, man. You know, it was shorter lived than the shorts he was wearing on that damn bus. You know what I'm saying? Pavia, I love you, but I think that you should have took that money, went to a university that could actually help you get a Heisman. You're not going to get it at Vanderbilt. They're not going to spend the money like they're. Somebody asked me the other day. I went on a show, and they're asking me, Vanderbilt's going to spend all this money on NIL. I was like, yeah, 2025. They're like, you know what? Forget the last 100 years of not supporting our football team. This is the year. Pavia's on this bus with these short ass shorts, and we're going to get behind him, and we're going to make something special. No, you're lucky that you got a stadium. So I feel like Vanderbilt is just going to be Vanderbilt here on out. And it's a shame. I wouldn't say shame because if you're a Vanderbilt fan, it's a shame for you because that's the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? Like you keep hitting, like every now and then we get some, you know, Franklin run, you know, we get one of these special seasons and then 20 years of nothing. That's what Vanderbilt's going to continue to do until they take football serious. And I just don't know. I don't see it changing anytime soon because it hasn't changed the last 42 years of my life on this planet. So,
well, last thing on that then. Oh, yeah. What's your confidence level? The over-under is 4.5 for Vanderbilt. Confidence level, they hit the over. Because I'm at like 85%. I'm very, again, I'm not saying they're going to win 9 games, but you're saying 5 and 7 hits the over.
Yeah, no, they'll hit 4 games. I'm worried about Virginia Tech. I do think, obviously, I'm being honest with you. It's not at home.
What happened to you? No, what happened to you, man? The orange is seeped into your brain or something here.
It's that damn Whistler. You know, I've been seeing him too much. I just want to end the rain. No, okay. I don't hate Vanderbilt. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It could be a great place. It's like if you were really, truly building a college football town team, you know, and you went in and say, which city do I want to? I want to plant my flag in Nashville because there's all this money. There's all this potential. You know, it really could be like Texas, like how Austin is, you know, it could just be that, but it's not. It never will be. It we'll be lucky to get a basketball team out of this town.
Okay. I hate, I hate, I hate this negativity.
It's
what, happened to positivity?
It's so damn hot, you know. Now I'm just, damn it, you know. Sorry.
All right, real quick. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this because there's a lot of names here. But top 100 players allegedly leaked from the new video game. Shout out, Rob. Yeah. You got robbed. He gave us a heads up here. Let's not go over all these, but did any jump out to you? Highest rated player in the game, Jeremiah Smith, a sophomore, 98, Caleb Downs, 97. Man, I hate that because they're both at Ohio State. The highest rated SEC player, Anthony Hill, Texas, 95, Ryan Williams, 95. So did any of these stand out to you, Shane?
I mean, not really. I tried to make something of this, but it's about where you'd have it. I guess I was more surprised some people didn't make the list, but this is, you know, this
Can I tell you one I hate?
Yeah.
Sellers. Lenore Sellers, 91. Literally put the team on his back, was red hot at the end of the year, and he's got the same, I mean, no disrespect, I love like Jalen Catalon, who's at Mizzou now. Safety, who gets hurt every year.
Yeah.
You're going to give him the same grade as maybe the Heisman winner? I'm not buying that.
Yeah. I mean Carson Beck's 91. Which one would you want?
Sellers, 100 out of 100, you know?
Right. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
They got the Penn State quarterback over Sellers. That's ridiculous.
Damn, 91's a popular number on this list. I'm just now kind of looking at it here. They're all 91.
Yeah.
So, it's like I said, it's a good list, but it's kind of be expected. It's not quite ESPN, but it is. You know what I'm saying? This is like a list you would expect from ESPN.
And then one other thing I wanted to ask you about the game, Shane. I know some people don't care about the game, so I'm kind of speeding through this, but they're bringing back the trophy room. So this is a preview. They've shared what this looks like. I just wanted to ask you, in your dynasty, Shane, which trophy are you most excited to put on display? Because for anybody that doesn't know, behind the scenes, Shane, he's like the damn guru. He whoops all our asses. We never beat him. So he wins all the trophies. So we know you're going to get the trophies anyway, but I'm just wondering which one means the most to you. That you got dynasty trophies, rivalry trophies. Which one means the most, Cousin Shane?
I would probably say the Heisman, because I'm going to win a lot of national championships, you know, but a Heisman feels like it's a little bit tougher to get. And I work so hard for that sometimes, you know, giving that guy extra reps, you know, giving him, not pulling him in the third quarter when he should be out of the game. So yeah, definitely the Heisman, because once you get that, then all the others just kind of fall in place. What about you?
Well, what few ones I get, to me, I like the rivalry trophies, you know, because it does go back and forth, but I have beaten you like twice out of like 50. So, you know, for at least a brief period, I get to hold the trophy. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a good, it sucks when you don't have it, you know what I'm saying? You just get, it's like you want to storm through the next, like, come on, let's do the off season. Let's just so you can play that game again.
All right, so let's get into the show topic for today, Shane. And I got 10 names I think you're really going to like. The 10 most intriguing SEC players for the upcoming season. And I'm trying to do this a little bit different.
Yeah.
The way I look at intriguing, I'm saying they will likely dictate the SEC this year, if that makes sense. A guy that could be boom or bust. Like, I'll just throw this out there. When I wanted to do this, I saw it this morning. If you go back, you can see it on my timeline. We can't play highlights of the games or anything. But last year, Jackson Arnold against Ole Miss was making guys miss, throwing, you know, literally had no protection.
Yeah.
Yet he was making defensive linemen miss and throwing a touchdown. And I still don't know if Jackson Arnold's. I think he certainly he's got talent. If you say he doesn't have talent, you're just ignorant.
Yeah.
But we don't know how much. Can he carry an SEC team like they're going to ask him to do at Auburn? I don't know. So that, to me, that's intriguing. Does that make sense? Like Auburn could fail. Auburn, I don't think it could happen, but Auburn could make the playoff if he's a five-star, looks like $1 million. You know what I mean? So to me, that's an intriguing player. I got 10 guys that kind of fit that mold. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So not just overall, like the video game here, you're just talking about intriguing people that are going to hit on certain things in 2025. Maybe just take that big step forward.
Well, not even take the step forward, but I don't know if they're going to be successful or not. And if they're successful, their team is probably going to be much better than we think they are. And if they're not,
then they're going to suck.
Yeah. So that to me is like, that's intriguing about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like one guy that truly does affect the ceiling and the floor of that upcoming season.
Yes. And yeah. I got one here. They're already mentioning it in the comments that I want to highlight that I don't think belongs on this list, but everybody thinks he belongs on this list and I don't get it. Marcel Reed, Texas A&M. Everybody, I keep hearing this, Shane. Marcel Reed, if he can be the guy, if he can be a stud quarterback, we question, you know, how good he is at passing the football. I don't, but other people do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on Marcel Reed, Shane. With, you know, go back, watch the A&M preview we did. All the offensive line back, top four rushers are back. Mm-hmm. We're going to be a rushing machine. We hit the transfer portal, add all these receivers. And there's nothing we saw in Marcel Reed last year that shows he can't be a starting quarterback in this league. Now, yeah. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman. I'm saying they don't need him to win the Heisman. People are saying like he needs to reach that for A&M to be special. Much more important, I think, for A&M is the defense.
Yeah.
Because the defense was not there last year. Not in the critical moments. They, particularly Carolina, they got embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Auburn went down 21-0. I mean, they looked clueless back there. And then the bowl game against Southern Cal. It was the defense that they had the lead. Last possession, defense let them go right up down the field with a backup quarterback to win the game. So, to me, it's more about the defense for Texas A&M. I'm not saying Reed can be awful and they'll be good. But I think we've seen enough from him to know he's a quality player. Does that make sense why I'm not putting him in the list while so many people are for some reason?
Well, I think if you're doing this list, the easy thing to do is put the 16 quarterbacks and say, well, they're going to make or break the season. I get that. But I do think that there's some quarterbacks that maybe have proven that they're not as big a part of an offense or system as other quarterbacks. So, yeah, I can get that. I understand what they're saying, though. If Reed takes that massive step forward and shows, I mean, he has potential. He was very young.
Right.
Real raw last year. There's an opportunity. I think Reed's one of those guys that has extremely high ceiling, but I don't think that we see that ceiling because of the style of offense that that they plan on running. And I'm with you. I think that defensive front, if you want to talk about, and I'm not one person in particular, but just that front defensive line, that's the position group that's going to make or break, you know, ultimately where this season goes for Texas A&M, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So now we get into the top 10 again. Marcel Reed's not in it.
Yeah.
But I want to highlight that because I knew everybody was going to say, oh, Marcel Reed. Mm-mm.
Yeah, he should be in it, but I'm just kidding.
Number one, and I already led with this, Jackson Arnold. I think he is the most intriguing player in the entire SEC. And hell, we already seen it, Shane, exiting spring. Some people said, buddy, you heard about this Deuce Knight? Which, again, he may be $1 million. He's a true freshman. We were kind of saying the same things about DJ Lagway last year, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if he's so good, the only reason he's going to be on the field is if Florida's struggling and they got a bench, Graham Mertz. Again, that's not how it worked. Mertz got hurt. But DJ Lagway saved Florida, I think you could say, last year. Mm-hmm. So could Deuce Knight do that for Auburn? Certainly, he could. But I also think, if you're really being honest with yourself, if you're an Auburn fan, I don't think you want Deuce Knight to be your starting quarterback. Not immediately.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, Shane. You tell me. I mean, again, I know Hugh Freeze is trying to reach a bowl game, and that's about it, apparently. But if you got Deuce Knight, a true freshman, out there, are you beating Georgia at home? You beating Alabama at home? I don't know. I think he could play and you can beat those teams. Almost like, you remember Tebow his first year where it was CJ Leak and then they'd bring Tebow in to mix things up. I think 1,000% that happens this year. But if you're asking him to come in and be Cam Newton day one, I think you're going to be very, very disappointed. So to me, I think you need Jackson Arnold. You need him to be your starting quarterback and we'll have Deuce Knight to be a role player. I think, I think that is the path to Auburn having a special season. What's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I think so, because I believe if you see Deuce, then something went wrong. You know,
right.
This will be another year that he has to look over his shoulder with the guy behind him. You know, and the last thing that I think that we need to see with our quarterbacks is their, you know, an Auburn situation like we had last year and bouncing back and forth. And is this the guy? Should this be the guy? You know, come out here, let Jackson lead this thing. And if we don't hear from, like, we have Deuce in there every now and then doing a jump pass like Tebow, you know, that's fine. But I don't want him to. Let me preface this. I would like to see in games Auburn is leading maybe a shorter leash so that we can get Deuce more involved, because
right. You
can't go wrong. Quarterbacks get hurt. I would like to know that Deuce can come in and be successful, but no, I think if Auburn's going to have a great year, it's got to be because of Jackson Arnold. And I totally agree with you here.
And let me just throw a little shade here, because you know how I got to do against Hugh Freeze. I still find it so funny that they had four quarterbacks leave in the offseason. And these are all guys that Hugh Freeze, he didn't inherit any of them. He brought them all to Auburn.
Yeah.
Four left, and people still have faith in him. I mean, in year three, what are we doing? I mean, that's acidide. You know what?
No, it really is. It is fun to watch, I guess, you know, if you're on the outside looking in. It's not good for Auburn fans, but yeah, there's clearly some drama there, but you know, there's a lot of positivity going into this camp right now. And I feel like that's going to resonate in that locker room and to the coaching staff. But
yeah,
you know, is we talked about with Auburn, how important the first four games are, because they've got to get some early success to have the end that we all want. And I mean, brother, there's four, for those listening, you got Baylor and Oklahoma within the first four games. You drop those
both on the road.
Yeah. And if you drop one or both of them, brother, you got A&M, Georgia, Mizzou, Arkansas right behind them. And it could be a long, long season. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with them.
All right. Another one, Shane. Again, I'm trying to go with the most obvious candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And you said not to do all, well, you said all 16 quarterbacks would be easy. Well, that's true. Give me the guy that replaced him, Shane, John Mateer, Oklahoma. Again, I think this guy's going to be phenomenal. 40-something touchdowns, insanely talented. You know, we're going to revitalize the offense in Oklahoma. Thankfully, we're bringing his offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, and that's going to really help the transition. But again, for all these Oklahoma haters,
mm-hmm.
I understand it. You know, that was freaking Washington State. Did you see his stats against... can't remember who it was. It was like Idaho or something. It was not that pretty. You know what I mean? So can he really come into the SEC year one? Again, do they need him to win the Heisman? No, but they probably, they need him to have, you know, probably 20, 25, maybe 30 touchdowns if they're going to make a run at the playoff. You know what I mean? So
can
he do that year one? I think he can, but I think there's a reality, there's a world where he doesn't. And it may not even be his fault, Shane, because it may be the offensive line. It could be the receivers, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that we talk pressure on quarterbacks, and, you know, and maybe this is part of the reason that he's on your list. I think there's three guys in my mind that have probably the most pressure coming into the season. Arch Manning, we talk about him, but we don't talk about the situation and what he represents. John Mateer is right there. This is a guy that was brought in to save this program, and that's just the way it's been dubbed ever since. And now every list I see has John Mateer, has the best or toward the top of the best quarterbacks in this conference, and that's all well and good. But if it's not, then all of a sudden we're not going to blame the quarterback. We're going to blame our coach. And then all of a sudden this thing's going to implode. This is a big, big season for Oklahoma. And just like Auburn, the first two games I'm looking at here is Auburn and Michigan. You drop one or two of those, then all of a sudden the John Mateer life preserver that we thought we had is no longer floating, if you will.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again, I get getting the obvious guys out of the way, but again, he's one. How about this? Yep. This may stun you, Shane. It's another quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not going to do quarterbacks, but here's one more.
I didn't say I was going to do a quarterback. That was you that said it. How about Garrett Nussmeier? Because I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this conference. I think some people, they have Garrett Nussmeier perhaps as the upcoming number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback, but I've been going back watching some LSU from last year, and that guy, man, he stood in the pocket, took some big time shots. I see why the NFL loves him. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback, the most gifted quarterback, but it's kind of cliche to say, but son of a elite coordinator, God, what have you. So he's got the IQ, the football IQ, everything you want in a quarterback, and he does have some mobility that, I'd rather have a quarterback, quite honestly, that could run a lot better. But I think Garrett Nussmeier, I'll say it this way, Shane, I'd be surprised if he doesn't lead the SEC in passing yards. Now, is that a good thing? I don't know, because if he does, that may mean LSU's playing from behind some, or they're having to throw it all over the yard. But I think Garrett Nussmeier, if he takes that next step, LSU's will make the playoff if he doesn't. Because I think it's going to be a lot harder. I'm still, like people like you, I don't get the love necessarily of automatically putting them in the playoff with the transition on the offensive line. I like that they're bringing in all these receivers.
Yeah.
But rarely does the receivers in a transfer portal just come in and dominate year one. It usually takes a year. And I'm not overly thrilled with LSU's offensive coaching staff. I think they took a big step back. Remember, their offensive coordinator went to Notre Dame. What happened to Notre Dame? Oh, yeah, they went to the national championship game. So I think that was a real loss that not enough people are highlighting. So I think Garrett Nussmeier's got to play like $1 million for LSU to make the playoff. And he could.
Yeah, I don't know. This one, probably I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I do think Nuss is obviously important for a playoff run, but I don't think he is like everything here. For me, LSU, similar to A&M, I feel like it's just the defense needs to keep getting better, because there were moments last year that we got little signs of that old school LSU defense we grew up loving. They've gotten away from that, during the, it felt like after Joey Burrow, that's all we're chasing now is just high numbers and explosive offense. That's important, but I think balance is more important down there in LSU than, Nuss coming out here leading the conference in passing. I hope that's not the case. If he is, then they're not making the playoffs. Something went wrong. We need to get more back to a balance, I think, and less pressure on my quarterback here. So big part of if they're going to make a national championship run, it's going to go through Nuss, but I don't think a big part of a successful season will be because he exceeded expectations.
Shane, do I ever tell you what a smart guy you are?
Do you see all them big words I just used? And I didn't stumble once.
Because I got another LSU player on here.
Oh, okay. All right.
And he plays defense. Yeah. Any guess who that is?
Who's that? Don't say Perkins.
Harold Perkins, come on. Intriguing. Is this a year, Shane? He looked like $1 million as a freshman, sophomore year, non-existent last year. I didn't even know he was on the team until they announced he was coming back. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Can they finally unlock him? Can they finally put him in a position to be successful? We've heard he's a nickel. We've heard he's a defensive end. We've heard he's a linebacker. I don't know what the hell position he's going to play, but he is an elite athlete. And we've got to unlock that in Blake Baker's defensive system. If he can figure out a way to use this guy, maybe that's the difference. And again, I'm not saying he's got to get 100 tackles and 50 sacks. You know what I mean? I'm saying against Ole Miss on the road, against Bama on the road, maybe Clemson, maybe Florida, whatever. Can he make a play that literally no one else on the field can make? Get to that quarterback, strip sack or a pick six or something like that. Can he make those plays? Because I think he's going to have to if LSU's defense takes a big leap forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, Well, and like I said, I was more worried about the defense and running game. So, yeah, same thing. I mean, you could also say defensive front, offensive front, just the trenches in general. But, yeah, I think Perkins, I mean, it's like now or never, man. I mean, how many times we got to talk about this? I think he's a great, great kid. I think he's going to do well in the NFL. But it's almost like we're trying to find where to put him on the map here. It's like a round circle, and we're trying to just shove it in these different positions. It's not working. So, right. Yes, if it does work and we get a little bit of what we saw year one, that's it, man. Create some turnovers, give some short field situations for Nuss and company. And, yeah, I'm right there with you. But LSU defense needs to be back. Not LSU total, just the defense needs to be back, and then they'll win a lot of football games, brother.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we got some Missouri talk in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing this guy out there, Shade. Running back Ahmad Hardy, who I've already predicted, bold prediction. He's going to lead the SEC in rushing yards. He was fantastic last season at old ULM, I believe. But this guy, I think if he can be that workhorse in Missouri's offense, they've had so many under Eli Drinkwitz. They've had elite running backs. This guy could be the most talented of them all. You know, could have been very easy to go Bo Prabula here, but I'm leaning running back because we have seen it year after year after year in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
They can get the most out of a running back. If he can get to that level of production, I'm predicting Missouri's going to have one hell of a year. What's your thoughts on that?
Now, who did you say? Hardy?
His name's Ahmad Hardy.
No, I was just making sure that's where you went, because I'm totally agreeing with you here. I feel like when we think about the success 2 years ago, it was the running game, man.
Yeah.
You know, that kid was unreal. Trust me, it's a Vol fan, standing on business. So I got to see plenty of it. And once you got away from that, and we're trying to win with our arm, we're trying to win with these receivers, we missed something in that transition. And I feel like the running game, just getting back to it, making it, maybe that should be a bold prediction. I think you did have this one as he'll be leading the conference. So yeah, that's how you keep a home winning streak alive, is controlling the change, controlling the clock.
Yeah. Well, here's another intriguing thing, Shane.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
JR's back, Shane.
Thanks, cuz.
Gifted a membership. He's graced his presence with us here, Shane. This time, LA Bomb 2020, you have been gifted.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Thanks to the legend, JR. Thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate that. And Tuesday... It's Tuesday, Georgia?
Yes, right. Sir.
Yeah, just a reminder, Cousin JR Day is this Tuesday, so be there.
Mm-hmm.
Wear your T-shirts. It's JR Day.
All right, how about this one? Another one, Shane. I'm getting away from the quarterbacks here. Thankfully, just for
Thank
you here.
God.
Now, this guy should be a household name by now.
Is it a punter?
But it is not a punter, Shane. Give me South Carolina. Dylan Stewart, defensive end, freshman, All-American. I think he was just a regular All-American. He was so elite. We know how great he is. But the other defensive end, Shane, last year, Kyle Kennard, they actually named him SEC Defensive Player of the Year. They had stud interior defensive lineman. All those guys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I don't know if you caught it the other day. I think it was on three. They asked old Dylan Stewart, who are you looking forward to hitting the most this year? Did you hear what he said?
Please say Pavia.
He said all of them.
Even better.
He don't care. He just wants to knock the hell out of everybody, right? So how great can he be this year without, again, he's still going to have solid sporting cast. I'm not saying he's with some scrubs or anything now, mm-hmm. but now he's got to elevate his game. And he's got to command those double teams. How does that free up the rest of the South Carolina defense? I think Dylan Stewart, if he could take his game to another level, particularly early, again, I'll throw up bad schedule, Shane. They've got some interesting games early, including Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, Missouri. I mean, if we're finding footing in by Kentucky,
yeah,
that's a problem, because we may have a loss or two by then. Again, we could overcome that, but I think it's so important for Dylan Stewart to take his game to the next level and be even more elite this year. He's got it in him. But that's why, to me, he is so intriguing.
Yeah, and I think what everybody's worried about, you know, is South Carolina taking a step back, myself included. I'm right there with them, you know. It's like, how do you have five guys on defense drafted and, oh, we're back, we're fine, you know. Everything's going to be quite all right. I feel like you've got to have that guy that takes over and you say, oh, shit, he was the piece. He was part of the reason why we feared the South Carolina defense so much. So, yeah, and, I think this riddle will be answered early in the season. This is a guy that has to take over games early. You know, South Carolina had that slow start, and a lot of that was with Sellers and, you know, I think the offensive coordinator. But, you know, honestly, it was the defense that kept them in a lot of football games, and I want to see that awareness and I want to see that tenacity right out of the gate. You do that, then all of a sudden we're asking ourselves, like, well, maybe South Carolina doesn't take a step back. Maybe this is the year that they finally make a playoff or win 8, 9, another 10 games, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, how about another one? Another rising young player. He came into the SEC, was kicking ass, Shane. Let's see if he does it again. I think he will. Give me Texas edge, defensive end, whatever the hell you want to call it. Colin Simmons. Shane, he was a game wrecker last year as a true freshman. 9 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, an interception. He was all over the field for Texas defense. And they've lost some production on the defensive line as well. So we really need Colin Simmons, who's already shown he can play at an elite level. Mm-hmm. We need him to probably take it up a notch because we're anticipating it's going to be one of, if not the best defense in the country. We're going to need him to make plays against Ohio State, against Georgia, against Florida. These are the games where you need your elite playmakers, Oklahoma, of course. You need them to step up, make a play or two to win you a damn ball game. Colin Simmons, is he ready to be that guy? I think he is.
Yeah, and I think this is a committee. I think there's a few guys on that side of the ball that need to just take over, you know, just take the reins. They're now the captains, you know, if you will. Establish who they are and create one of the toughest damn defenses in the country. You know, this is a guy that if you ask him, he's super confident. You know what I'm saying? It's I like them cocky defenders, you know, that just come out and say, I am this defense. It almost feels like that's what he's coming in here to do. And yeah, special season with this cat.
All right. So how can we do a list like this, Shane?
Yeah.
Bold prediction. I'm just laughing as I'm going to say this out loud, Shane. I know he's God's gift to football. Arch Manning. I think he's got to be on a list like this. Mm-hmm. Again, I think he'll be successful. I think he'll be fantastic, all that. I'm as tired as everybody else to hear, you know, all the Arch hype. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman or anything like that. But to me, Shane, I think you asked it recently. You know, is there anybody that's ever had this much pressure on them, or at least heading into the year? I think there are, but maybe not. Arch, you know, he's got to deliver because the expectation is, hell, if Texas goes, let's say like, you know, 15-1 or something, but they don't win the national championship.
Yeah,
I think that's a damn failure. I mean, that's a lot to be stepping into. So, I think they need Arch to be special to win it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Highlight of the day was his 68-yard touchdown. Forgot how fast he was, over 20 miles an hour. That gets you a ticket in my neighborhood. I'm telling you right now, you better slow down, sir.
Wait, how fast was he going?
Over 20 miles an hour.
Man. Oh, wow.
Seriously, I think about driving 20 miles an hour. Like, my speed limit here is 15. That's 5 over. You know what I'm saying? You hit a speed bump at 20. You're losing everything, transmission, everything. So, hey, I do think there is a lot of pressure on Arch, but I think there's been a lot of pressure on Arch since he threw a football. You know, the expectations of that name, the Manning name, it's the expectations are there. And I feel like there's a certain point when you just embrace it. And you could tell there's a silent confidence, swagger, if you will. I think that's what the kids are using these days. I don't know. I think that was 2 years ago. But you know what I'm saying. You see him out and about with the public, with, you know, fans. He's very cool, calm, and collective. This is a guy that is designed to play NFL football. And so going into the season with expectations of winning a national championship, I guarantee if you asked him his inside thoughts, that's what he's wanting to do, is win a national championship, win a Heisman, be the best football team. So, yes, for Texas to ultimately hit the ceiling, they made the playoff last 2 years. Can they win it? It's going to be on the arm of Arch Manning. And if it doesn't happen this year, guess what? He's coming back. They'll do it again next year.
All right. Somewhere Steven Lassen's ears are burning. So let's move on from old Arch. How about this? Now, this guy, I think, has got some real pressure as well, Shane. And I think you would agree with this one. Give me old Joey Aguilar, quarterback, transfer from UCLA / Appy State.
You can't say that. You can't say that after they beat us.
I think Aguilar's got to be up there. He's very intriguing to me. I mean, hell, he could be an upgrade for all I know. I think that's asking too much, but it wouldn't stun me either.
No. I mean, tell you what, I'm jealous of his hair. I mean, there's that. The guy's got a head of hair. He looks like a Tennessee quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He looks like he's got him a little swagger, and there's a lot of pressure on him, but not as much. This is another one similar to an LSU. I really think this is about the pieces around him, mainly that offensive line, mainly the running game, keep it rolling, you know, because that's what Josh Heupel offense is about. Mm-hmm. Also defense, you know, Tennessee made it to the playoffs last year because of the defense, keeping them in football games, winning football games. So if we lose something on that side of the ball, then I feel like Aguilar's life's going to be even harder. So yes, is the ceiling floor manipulated by the quarterback at Tennessee? Absolutely. But this is also, I feel like, one of the teams that may have the shortest leash on a QB and willing to try something else if it's not working. So for that point, I feel like this is more about the hogs up front. I think it's about the big guys up front. If that offensive line fails, Tennessee offense will fail. And I don't think it's going to fail, brother. Don't think. John Gruden, I think he moved back over here. You know, there's something in the air. I feel like these boys just.
All right, final one, Shane. Top 10 list here. This is the number 10.
Yeah.
Most intriguing player. I said we're not doing Marcel Reed, and we're not doing it. Casey Concepcion, Shane, receiver. They apparently beat out Bama before. He was all world 2 years ago at NC State as a freshman. Steven Lassen loves this guy. I've not spoken to anybody that's watched this guy at NC State, at least his freshman year, and not said this kid is $1 million. So if he is that, A&M desperately needs someone to be that guy at receiver, and he plays slot. So Colin Klein, offensive coordinator, he loves obviously to run the ball, but he's very creative with his play designs. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with a slot receiver and with motion and trick plays and all kinds of different ways to utilize Casey Concepcion. If he is who they say he is 2 years ago, if that's who A&M's got, I think their offense is going to be very dynamic next year.
That's a good one. It's a good one. I think I would have went with Terry here, but I do feel like that receiving room in particular is like a, I don't want to say a sleeping giant, but isn't appreciated as much. In fact, one of the things that we're going to look back, if we sit here and we talk about Reed and we get 6, 7, 8 games in and they have an explosive offense, we're all going to point at him or point at the coaching staff, but it's these playmakers that they've now got around him that I feel like needs to take that step forward. The running game is what ultimately Texas A&M wants to get to. The passing game is going to be what wins them football games, gets the separation, you know, the blowouts. I feel like we're going to have a couple blowouts here. That's going to happen because of these guys that you're highlighting.
Right. And, you know, you're saying Bussy. I'm seeing it in the comments, Bussy.
Well, I mean, but I do think they're hand in hand.
Most yards he's ever had, Shane, is 76 in a game. He had 216 yards last year.
By himself. You know what I'm saying?
216 yards.
I mean, that's
not great. That's not great.
It's raw potential, though. He's very young.
Right. This, but
yeah.
What does Eli Drinkwitz say, Shane? And again, he says a lot of crazy stuff, right? So production over, damn it, I forgot what it is. Potential. But that's what it is. Production over potential.
Yeah.
College football is littered with these.
He
was a five star. He was a four star. Give me a guy that has 30 touchdowns and 1,000 yards at NC State. I think that guy could perform. Or do you want a five star that had 200 yards last year? I mean, who's got the bigger? I expect more from a guy with 1,000 yards and 30 touchdowns than 200 yards and was a recruit. I don't care about recruits anymore. And if Terry Bussey doesn't come in and deliver, guess what? His ass is going to hit the transfer portal and go somewhere else. I don't think I really believe that. I'd say that about any of these guys.
I think it's the flashes, even though we did get to see it last year. It's like, what's his name? Coleman down in
Auburn.
We're all on the Coleman train because of what he did the last three football games. Not the first three football games, the last ones. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the same kind of case you're going to make with Terry and the fact that you got Concepcion down here taking away. I mean, the more playmakers you got around you, the better your playmakers become because now all the focus isn't on one or two guys. So I think his life just got a little bit easier because of your guy showing up finally.
No, that's probably true. Hey, one more, Shane, real quick, I don't want to call this a mailbag. Someone DM'd me. I just thought this was an interesting question, and I thought we'd hit it real quick if we had time, and we do. So shout out True Son Tiger. He DM'd me. He's a Mizzou guy, Shane. You know, the last 2 years, I believe, they played in Ireland. They, like, opened the season over there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his question. What SEC matchup would you like to see in another country? And any idea where, you know, who would be or where it would be? Have you ever considered that?
I mean, obviously, if I'm picking one, maybe LSU in France. That seems like seems like a teed up situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who else you got? Am I missing one? What's another one that you got? You tell me. Have you given it thought? I just first time I heard of it.
Yeah, no, I was going to throw it at you. I was just trying to think, you know, Mexico and Canada seem like logical ones as well, but
Texas and Mexico, you know.
Yeah, the problem is, because I was going to say Texas A&M, but we just never want to take that game out of the state of Texas, so I get it. But that it's Texas, some kind of exhibition, it might be fun somehow, you know what I mean?
That's what we'll do, Texas and Tennessee, and we'll call it the what if. What if the Volunteers didn't help you out? This is where we'd be playing college football.
Yeah, I like that. Mr. Sips is Bama in Brazil. That'd be kind of cool.
Bama in Brazil. Oh, boy, they get in trouble down there. yeah, those are some good ones. I'm not really giving that any thought.
Apparently football
Georgia
is pretty...
Georgia? Huh?
Apparently... Germany is starting to like football because we had the NFL Europe. You know, all our damn punters come from Australia, so maybe a game over there would be kind of fun, and they'd probably have to play it on a Thursday for us to see it on a Saturday, something like it. So maybe we'd get college football a couple days early.
Drinkwitz, is that German or Polish maybe? Maybe put it, I don't know. Maybe he's got some pull over there. I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it. Obviously I'd watch any SEC football game, but would I go? That's the question. And, you know, a trip to Mexico, yeah, probably, you know, I mean, we go there on vacation, going to like France. I don't know.
Brodo says Georgia in Germany, no speed limit. Go dial.
Ah! Autobahns. Yes. Oh God.
Cousin Sven out there in Berlin. He says Mississippi State in Berlin. That'd make it easy for him.
Damn. Yeah, that's a good one. Good
all call. Right. Anything else, Shane, before we hop off the light on this one?
No. Hell of a list, Mike. Appreciate that. Don't forget, Smart Guy's on tomorrow. We're going to have Georgia preview Tuesday. That's JR Day, so be sure to put that one in your calendar. And then who's after? I believe you've got it lined up already.
We got Florida.
Oh, Florida. I may call in sick that day. But just kidding. Be sure to hit that thumbs up. Have those notifications on. Appreciate all the cousins hanging out with us. And as always, Mike, it's good to see you, brother.
Absolutely. Stay
hydrated.
Say, yeah, hydrated. Cool. That's what cool. The word cool I was going for.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell out there. So we appreciate you. And we will catch you tomorrow. We're less than 70-something days of college football. So lock it in. Like, subscribe, share. Really does help us out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.